93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM Latte, Jeremy Warner. It is the Tay and Jay Show, and we are welcoming in Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Doing great. Now, we've been posing the question to all of our parents out there, or soon-to-be parents, or parents one day, if your child or son has been offered $200,000, that's the figure we're going with, to join the pros, or they can go take a scholarship at a solid university. What are you telling your child, Megan?
Well, first off, what round are we?
Well,
like, is this like going to be like a top five type of round, or are we talking like, you know, 13th round?
We'll go with like fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, that's okay. Why we're throwing out that arbitrary $200,000.
Yeah, okay. I think it would have to be based more on the round.
Okay.
Because I feel like if you're a higher round, like, you know, a higher pick round-wise,
yep,
they have a little more invested in you.
Good point.
Whereas, I mean, and plus, too, I don't think the $200,000 is that big of a deal. I liked what the one caller said about getting it written into your contract about having money to, you know, pay for your college if you don't pan out in the minors or make it to the big leagues. So I like that strategy, but I think I'd support either way, but I'd probably push towards going to college unless it was a high draft pick. I think the level of, you know, where you're
the pick
drafted,
yep,
yeah, it matters more than the amount.
Now wait a minute, Megan is changing things. She Megan, this isn't your show. You can't come on here and change things.
But Megan, what's your round limit? Where's the round where you say yes?
I'd say probably. You have to go top six.
It is a good point because you know you're going to invest a lot into that player.
Well, and if not, if you go to college, you can always improve your status. I mean, I don't think, unless you just go and become completely awful, and I guess injuries are a concern,
sure,
but you always have really a chance to improve upon how much more money you can make. So if you're, you know, that confident in your abilities, you know, why not go to college, you know, and, you know, try and improve it on the money and even where you get drafted.
Good point.
We're talking with Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. She covers the Cubs and White Sox for the newspaper up there. You can read her stuff at nwherald.com. And Megan, Cubs win! Cubs
win!
Wow. What's going on?
Yeah, that was a huge... They really needed Ryan Dempster to come out and deliver the performance that he brought today. Three hits in six innings, giving up only one run. I mean, that's definitely... You need your starting pitcher to step up when you're on an eight-game losing streak. So that was huge for them today.
And Aramis Ramirez and Carlos Pena, two mm-hmm. guys that the veterans, of course, have been struggling on this team. They hit home runs. Maybe things to come. Is this the mm-hmm. turning point? I know it's only one game, but one game for the Cubs with what's been going on, with what's been said, mm-hmm. it seems like that could at least smooth things over.
Yeah, I think it's especially a continued good sign for Pena. I mean, he's really turned it on after getting out of that really cold April month. I mean, he's been on a tear lately. And obviously, you know, he's not going to have a high average, but he does get walks. He's hitting home runs. So he's basically doing and providing the defense at first. So he's basically holding up his end of, you know, the contract that he signed. That's what they're looking for. You know, Quadi has reiterated throughout the season that they know he's not going to have, you know, a high average up near, like, 280. But they're getting out of him what they wanted, and that's definitely a good sign. You have to be happy, too, that Ramirez hit a home run, because that kind of had been a concern that he really wasn't, you know, getting much lift on some of his hits. So another promising thing for them.
Well, Megan, I didn't hear it, but I was in St. Louis when Carlos Zambrano kind of had his latest rant. And Jeremy and I both agreed with it. We liked it. We liked the fact that he came out and said the Cubs are playing like a minor league team right now, et cetera. How did that play out in the Chicago area?
I think from what I gathered, there was some different levels of split. A lot of people liked that he called out the team for not playing well. Though some of the people that liked that, though, didn't like the fact that he called out Marmol, who's saved his behind numerous times during his career. And, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of people are glad somebody said, you know, this team's playing awful. Pretty much that's been their reaction that I've gathered. I've kind of been surprised at how many people seem to want Quadi fired. Obviously, everyone wants Hendry gone from what I've gathered. So for the most part, his comments were pretty well received. And I think that what gives him credibility is the fact that this past month or so, he's been pitching pretty well. So, you know, that gives him some credibility to what he's saying.
Talking to Megan Montemurro from the Northwest Herald. She covers both the Cubs and Sox. And at least somebody stepped up and somebody cares. I mean, that's what it seems with this Cubs team. A lot of fans frustrated because you look at Aramis Ramirez, Carlos Pena, Alfonso Soriano. It just doesn't seem like those guys care that much. Is that unfair to those guys, though?
To some of them, I think so. I mean, it's hard. The fans don't see, you know, how early or late some of the players are getting there. I mean, obviously not. I can't say that every single guy, you know, maybe is giving 100%. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to label, you know, everyone is not caring, because I haven't seen that. I mean, certainly you could potentially make the case for a certain, you know, for a few people. But, I mean, also, I mean, injuries. I mean, you can't really expect when you bring up, you know, five guys from double and triple A to suddenly make this a winning team. I mean, some of them have never played together before, and, you know, there's an adjustment period regardless of how many guys you bring in. So when you have injuries, take away key guys. I mean, obviously it's not an excuse, but it's certainly hard to, you know, build on something when you were on shaky ground to begin with. So, I mean, it's obviously been a challenge. This is a brutal month schedule-wise for them. I mean, just looking at the teams that play in the Brewers, Yankees, Sox, they start their four-game series with the Phillies coming up. I mean, it's going to be a brutal stretch.
Yeah, I was going to say they win one game, and then they get the Phillies, the second-best team in baseball, mm-hmm. the Brewers, a top-six team in baseball, the Yankees, who are one of the best teams in the AL East, obviously, and then the White Sox.
Yep.
So, I mean, do you think the Cubs can survive this? And what if they don't? What if they go through another, they lose 10 of these next 12 games? What do you think happens with this team? Does Jim Hendry make a trade?
Well, I think certainly today was huge. They needed a win. They could not let this slide go any farther, especially with having to face Holiday and Lee for the Phillies in the series. I mean, that you could have been looking at potentially almost a, 13-game losing streak. I mean, that would have been brutal. I mean, it's really difficult. Again, there's so many parts that you really can't move. Soriano, I mean, he's injured right now, but even healthy, that's pretty much an impossible contract to get rid of. Fukudome has actually been playing pretty well, but he obviously is making a lot of money, so he's going to be very difficult to move. But I could see, I feel like he might have the most value at this point, since, you know, he hasn't had his typical summer slide yet at this point, and he's been hitting really well in the leadoff spot, so maybe that's an option. But there's so many parts that really they're going to be stuck with at least this year, maybe another year or two. So if anything drastic was going to happen, you would think that it might have something to do with Hendry, because I guess that's the one that you can have the most control over at this point. I mean, you can't really bring in new players when you're not really drawing the attendance to get money to pay for these players. So they're definitely going to be stuck in a hard place if they can't turn things around and at least go somewhat close to .500 this month.
Chicago baseball beat reporter Megan Montemurro joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show. And Megan, let's switch gears to the Sox. I think Mr. Danks actually got a win.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
He was certainly very happy about it after the game, too.
I mean, what about the Sox right now? I mean, what do you think of this squad right now?
I think that they should be very happy that they're only, they're only 5.5 games out
right.
from Cleveland, considering that Alex Rios and Adam Dunn have pretty much literally contributed nothing to the season.
Don't remind me.
So the fact that they're only 5.5 out, they're 6-4 in their last 10, and you can argue that maybe one or two of those games they probably should have won. So I think you have to be pretty pleased with the fact that they are where they are, especially, you know, losing Peavy again. So, I mean, but obviously at some point, Rios and Dunn have to produce. I mean, Dunn hitting .176 is abysmal, and you can't keep putting that out there. He's one for about 42 against left-handers. Wow. So, I mean, it's obviously probably arguably one of the worst couple months of his baseball career.
At least he got the one, though. At least got the one back.
Yeah, on a questionable infield hit, too.
Right. But at least White Sox got to be happy with their pitching, even mm-hmm. though Peavy right. has been hurt. I feel like they just need to keep getting top 10 picks from other teams and giving them Don Cooper. I mean, Gavin Floyd, John Danks turned their careers around mm-hmm. with the White Sox. And now Phil Umber. Mm-hmm. It has been unbelievable for them. Has a sub-3 RA. I think his whip is under 1, too.
Yeah.
What's been the key for him?
Really, it's almost hard to say. I mean, he's really turned it around. You know, Guillen said the other day that, you know, arguably Umber's been the biggest surprise this season. And I think at this point, you should call him the ace of the staff. I mean, he's had so many quality starts. He out-dueled Felix Hernandez, the Cy Young winner from last year. So, I mean, he's just been more aggressive. He hasn't been as wild, which, you know, is important. He
sure.
has 43 strikeouts to 17 walks, and, yeah, his whip is .98. So anytime that you're able to keep guys off base the way he's been able to do, he's putting himself in position to, you know, be successful.
Megan Montemurro, Northwest Herald. Megan, we always enjoy having you on. Thank you for coming on and kind of letting us know about the Sox and Cubs.
Yeah, no problem. I had fun. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Megan. We'll talk to you soon. That is Megan Montemurro. Tell me again how you can read her stuff.
At nwherald.com.
All right. Let's take a break. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
Right now, we're going to bring on Connor Glassy from Baseball America. We're going to talk about the Major League Baseball draft. And, Connor, thanks for calling us. We appreciate that.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Not a problem. Enjoying it. I bet you're kind of busy these days, huh, with this draft going on?
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been a, you know, fun 3 days at Baseball America, but it's kind of like Christmas for us there at the office, so it's a lot of fun. And now, you know, in about a week here, we start tracking the 2012 players.
Wow.
So it's a complete cycle.
Well, Connor, you said it's your Christmas. My Christmas is the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. There's a lot of pageantry to it, even though we don't know if these kids are going to be busts or not. MLB draft is a different kind of animal. You're talking about a lot of high schoolers and kids that you might not see for 4 or 5 years, but you see it on TV now. Is this becoming a bigger deal after the last couple of years?
You know, I'd like to think so, and I think it's becoming a little bit bigger every year. Partially, you know, there's more college baseball games on TV, and that helps. And we're seeing more guys, you know, fast track through the minor leagues and you know, being on TV for their big league teams not too long after they're drafted, like Mike Leake, Chris Sale, you know, guys like that. So that helps. And then there's also these premier high school events like the Under Armour All-American game that takes place at Wrigley Field, where, you know, fans can watch the top high school players in the country on TV. And so there's a lot of things that are helping generate interest in, you know, draft players and the draft in general. So I think it is gaining popularity.
Connor Glassy, Baseball America, joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show. And Connor, I'm going to get right to it. Our teams around here, of course, the White Sox did not have a first-round pick because they knew
Adam Dunn.
They knew Adam Dunn was going to hit 199, so they decided to take him. I'm giving a ribbing to Jeremy because he's a Sox fan. Sorry about that. But let's talk about the Cardinals and Cubs. The Cubs had an early pick, and they went with a shortstop, a high school shortstop, Javier Baez. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, I like the pick for the Cubs. There were actually two high school shortstops in Florida this year, Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez. And Lindor went 8th to the Indians, and then Baez went right after him 9th. And the interesting thing is that for, you know, Lindor was the consensus better player, but there were a lot of teams that thought Baez was better. I mean, they were really close, and they ended up going really close in the draft. But he's a really good athlete. There are some questions about whether or not he can stay at shortstop. The Cubs are definitely going to give him that chance, but if they have to move him, he could play third base, or he might even catch. He has kind of the tools to catch, but the questions with him are about his makeup. He's a little bit of a punk, plays with a chip on his shoulder a lot of the time, and so he'll have to tone that down in pro ball, but Scott's really like his bat. He has one of the best bats of any high school player in this year's class, just incredible bat speed. Barrel awareness, everything you look for in a high school hitter, he has it. He's going to hit for average, and he's going to hit for some power, too.
Barrel awareness. What is barrel awareness?
Just, you know, when you're swinging a wood bat, you need to know where that barrel is.
Gotcha. You
can get away with, you know, some cheap hits with metal bats, but with a wood bat, you need to barrel up the ball and hit hit the ball in the sweet spot all the time.
Well, and he seemed to do pretty well with the aluminum bat. I know it's high school, but these stats are unbelievable. 771, he had 64 hits, 22 homers, 20 doubles, 6 triples. That means he only hit 16 singles out of all of that. I mean, when you're talking about a high schooler, are those stats that, is there anybody comparable that did that in high school that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, some player, you know, high school stats are just crazy. You can't really get anything out of them, especially with a guy like Baez. He plays at a very, very small school up in the panhandle and just playing very bad competition. But, you know, Scott saw him a lot at those showcase events like I talked about last summer, and they saw him hit with wood and play against the best players in the country. So that's why the Cubs, you know, had faith to take him ninth overall.
Sure. Connor Glassy, Baseball America, he knows his stuff about the draft, and that's why we're talking to him now. He knows his stuff about baseball as well. So the St. Louis Cardinals go the college route. They take Colton Wong, a second baseman from Hawaii, and it sounds like, Connor, a true second baseman.
He is a true second baseman, but like Baez, he's a guy that has some options. I think, you know, he's going to be a second baseman, but he's a really good athlete. He's also played a little bit of catcher. He's played a little bit of shortstop. He played center field his first year there, so he's a good athlete that could move around, but I think he's going to be a, you know, everyday second baseman, and I think fans in St. Louis are really going to latch on to this guy. I mean, you know, the fans there, they really pick some guys to get behind, and they seem to love that grinder scrapper kind of game. I mean, they like the, you know, Brandon Ryans and Ryan Terrios, and Colton Wong is a more talented version of those guys. I mean, he has a very advanced hit tool. He had one of the best pure bats of any player in this draft, and he's just really exciting to watch. I remember I got the chance to see him a couple years ago. We're based in Durham, North Carolina, and the USA Baseball Complex is just about 10 minutes down the road from us, and he was out here with Team USA, and I really fell in love watching the player. I mean, because there was one game in particular I remember he had in the bat. He bunted for a base hit and then stole second base and then stole third base and scored on a ground ball. So he's going to be a top-of-the-order spark plug that really, you know, produces runs for the Cardinals.
So the 5'9" does not worry you in the least?
It doesn't. I mean, you know, if you can hit, you can hit. And that's the great thing about baseball is that it takes all shapes and sizes.
Connor Glassy from Baseball America joining us, breaking down the MLB draft. You can find his stuff at baseballamerica.com. Connor, the White Sox take Keenan Walker. I believe he's related to their hitting coach, Greg Walker. I mean, the Sox have done this year after year. They seem to be drafting relatives of guys that are in the support staff or coaches. What can you tell me about Keenan Walker, a junior college kid?
Well, he's been drafted twice before. He was drafted out of high school and then drafted last year out of Central Arizona, both in the later rounds. But this year he really came on. I mean, Central Arizona is one of the rare community colleges that plays with wood bats. And so he hit really well for them this year, and he stole a ton of bases. He kind of has the prototypical top-of-the-order center field profile. He's a switch hitter, has some gap power, and has plus speed, which really helps him on the bases and helps him patrol center field really well.
Connor Glassy from Baseball America. Now, Connor, I don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, there's thousands of guys that are getting drafted, so I don't want to throw you under a bus or throwing a guy out that you don't know. But a kid that got drafted by the Cardinals in the second round is also an Illini recruit. Charlie Tilson from New Trier, I believe, in Chicago area. Do you know much about him? What do you think of him?
I know a lot about him. Actually, it's funny. He, our executive editor is Jim Callis. I don't know if you guys have ever talked to Jim Callis.
No.
But he's been at Baseball America for almost 20 years now, and he's neighbors with Charlie Tilson.
Oh, nice.
Jim's kids actually go to the same school as Charlie Tilson's kid. So
you guys have
Charlie, you guys have
scouting reports dating back to like kindergarten on Charlie.
That's right. Yeah, we have the T-ball scouting reports there. But Charlie Tilson really put himself on the map at one of those showcase events I was talking about earlier. There's an event called the Area Code Games in Long Beach, California every year, where the best high school players from around the country get together and, you know, play on these teams. And Tilson was the only player over the, you know, 3 or 4 days out there that hit a home run in the event. So he really opened some eyes. And it's funny, that's not actually his strength. He's not a big-time power guy. He's another, you know, speedy, more of a average over power kind of guy.
Sure.
But he's a really good player.
And what do you think? I mean, he's probably going to have $400,000, $500,000 signing bonus. Is there any chance that he chooses college over the pros?
Well, it might take twice that to get him signed. And, you know, I think he has great options ahead of him. I think, you know, his family really values education, and, you know, he's expressed a strong interest in going to Illinois. So either way he goes, you know, it's a win-win when kids are choosing between a signing bonus like that and a college education. So.
All right, good stuff. Connor Glassy, Baseball America, I can't thank you enough for joining us. This was good. We appreciate it. I know you're busy as heck right now, so I guess get back to it, right?
Yeah, well, I'm out with the guys. We're going to the Cheesecake Factory to celebrate the draft being over, so I'm taking it easy a little bit before we jump back into things.
I love it. Well, thanks again even more now that I know that the guys are probably sitting there waiting. Let's go, Connor! So yeah. I love it. Hey, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Connor Glassy, Baseball America. You can read his stuff, baseballamerica.com. He and the boys going to celebrate.
That's this thing's over. Cheesecake Factory is not a bad way to celebrate that thing. But, man, Charlie Tilson could demand like $800,000 to a million.
Wow.
$800,000 to a million.
The Cardinals might make the decision easy for him. They might not be willing to pay that.
Well, this game could drag out for a long time. I know the deadline's what, late July,
right,
August.
Right.
So this we could be held in suspense here, and Dan Hartlib could be too.
Let's talk a little bit more about that draft when we come back. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.